be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Go away, leave this area, because Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and I perform healings today and tomorrow, and then the third day I must accomplish my purpose. Yet I must continue on my way today, tomorrow, and the following day, for it is impossible that a prophet should die outside of Jerusalem.'" Jerusalem. Jerusalem. "You who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How many times I yearn to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. But you are unwilling. Behold, your house will be abandoned. But I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today in this Gospel, we see Jesus' courage, which is just as impressive as his charity. The Pharisees, most of whom were not befriending Jesus, came up to tell him that Herod wanted to kill him. Same Herod who had killed John the Baptist, but thought that Jesus was John the Baptist, reed of Phoebus, wanted him out of the way too. And Jesus gave the Pharisees a message to go back, which really shows his courage, but also it's always a call to conversion. Go and tell that fox. Jesus was saying that he knows that Herod is sly and ferocious. "Behold, I cast out demons and perform healings today and tomorrow, and the third day I accomplish my purpose." Jesus twice lists today, tomorrow, and the following, or the third day. That what he's doing in all his work, it's a summary, casting out demons and performing healings. He wanted Herod to be able to receive that healing too. Jesus was dying for 100 out of 100. But that he was going to be doing this work until that third day. And the third day it would all be accomplished. Jesus obviously punctuated that work with an exclamation point on Holy Thursday, Good Friday. And then on that third day when he rose from the dead. He said it's impossible for a prophet to die outside of Jerusalem. In other words, Herod, you're not going to kill me. Because it's been foretold that I will die in Jerusalem, just like all the prophets that had been sent to Jerusalem. And then Jesus opens up his sacred heart, saying what his hopes had been for Jerusalem. He loved the people. He wanted to gather them all together. That was the reason why he came. But they refused. They were that hardened soil. They just didn't want to embrace him. But eventually he would come to them anyway. At that time in which people would cry out as they did on Palm Sunday, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But Jesus was resolute. You remember a few Fridays ago, in which we talked about Luke 9:51, that Jesus fixed his face on Jerusalem, and that everything that comes after that in St. Luke's Gospel shows his purpose. Jesus was not going to be deterred by fear of a licentious earthly king like Herod or by anything else. And Jesus wants to make us courageous and to help us have a similar focus. He wants to gather us together under his strong arms. We turned to God in the responsorial psalm and we used a lot of strong words about him. We called him our rock. the one who trains our hands for battle and fingers for war. He's our mercy, our fortress, our stronghold, our deliverer, our shield. He's all of this. And so we turn to him precisely in that way. St. Paul teaches us, as he did the church in Ephesus, how to enter into Christ, who is all of these things and more. And St. Paul helps us to realize that our enemies aren't Herod. Our enemies aren't the pro-abortion folks or those who want to redefine marriage or redefine who the human person is. Our real enemies are the principalities and powers, the world rulers of this present darkness with evil spirits. And he tells us how to draw our strength from the Lord and his mighty power so that we're not even intimidated by them, because we are the disciples of the one who has conquered them and conquered the world. But he makes it very practical here. This is the summary of his whole letter to the Ephesians, which finishes for us liturgically today. Tomorrow we go from the most eloquent of St. Paul's letters to the second most eloquent of St. Paul's letters. If you don't know what's coming, you will as soon as the lector says the words tomorrow. It's Philippians. So how do we draw our strength? He tells us, put on the armor of God. In other words, put on Christ. And then he gives six ways he wants us to do so. Stand fast, he says, with your loins girded in truth. It's the belt around your waist so that you're able to move. Put truth. I've always thought here that what he's really talking about is what priests talk about when we put our cincture on. Cincime Domine Concingulo Puritatis. Like putting on the cincture of purity, of chastity, of continence. That when we gird ourselves with truth, we know who we are and we know what the purpose of our life is. That right there in our core, we have to be filled with the truth of God rather than the way that the devil wants to get us to buy his lies. Clothed with righteousness or holiness or justice as your breastplate, that part that covers your heart where your treasure is. I want you to be hungering for holiness. That's going to make you strong against the wiles of the enemy. Is that where our heart is? Is that where our treasure is? With your feet shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. As we've discussed before, slaves didn't have shoes or sandals. It was only free people who did. And this freedom that Jesus describes by mentioning how our feet will be shod, it's not just supposed to be a freedom from the evil one, for example, but a freedom for. The ultimate purpose of our freedom, so that we're able to bring others the gospel, and the gospel that fills us and them and the world with peace. We've got to be ready to bring it. We've got to be eager. We won't have shoes so that we can sit in our lazy boy all day. In all circumstances, hold faith as a shield. Now, the shield that's here, a lot of the times we think about a small little round shield that is easy to maneuver. It's not the term St. Paul uses in Greek, which is torius. That was the full body, long shield that if you were being sort of bombarded by the ancient archers, you could actually hide behind that shield. So what we're talking about is have faith totally cover you, every part of your body. Faith. Live by faith. That's what's going to strengthen you against all those fiery darts of the evil one when you're truly trusting in the Lord in every circumstance rather than trusting in yourself, rather than trusting in some worldly guru, to trust in the Lord in every way. take the helmet of salvation around your head. Fill your thoughts with the salvation Christ came in the world to give you. Don't be afraid, in other words, of all the threats. Focus on the fact that your rock, your deliverer, your mercy, your fortress, your stronghold, your shield is there. Take great confidence in this. You know, the first way a priest gets ready for Mass is not getting up early in the morning and preparing a homily. First is when we get there and we put the amice around our head and then drop it around our collar. And the prayer there is Impone Domine, Capiti Meo, Gallium Salutis, Ad Expugnandos Diabolicos in Corsus. Put on my head, O Lord, the helmet of salvation to expel all the incursions of the evil one. We want to begin with God's thoughts, and we recognize that the devil first wants to come in through our thoughts. So we're asking, as we prepare for Mass, to put on God's own mind and to protect us from every attempt to thwart that focus. We all need it. Finally, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This last of the armor is the only offensive weapon. Everything else is defensive. This is offense. And if we're going to go on offense, the arm is the Word of God, which is why it's so important to be knowing the Word of God. This was what Jesus used as the weapon against the evil one in the desert, where the desert, when Jesus was most vulnerable, when Jesus was most vulnerable, was trying to take him away from the Father and the Father's plan in three massive ways, because St. Luke tells us Jesus was exposed to every temptation. The way Jesus replied to the devil's half-truths, excised from sacred scripture, was with the full meaning of sacred scripture. The Word of God was his weapon, and it's meant to be our own. These are the ways in which we draw our strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. These are the virtues he wants to give to us, to our head, to our heart, to our loins, to our feet, to our arms, both the one that holds the sword as well as the one that holds that long tuirus. He concludes by saying, all of this is meant to be done prayerfully. With prayer and supplication, pray at every opportunity in the Spirit. Pray at all times, as Jesus himself would say, because that is the means by which we are in communion with that rock and deliverer. But that prayer is not just supposed to be persevering. It's supposed to be vigilant, be watchful. It's supposed to be intercessory with every supplication. It's supposed to be pneumatological, in the Spirit. This is the way that we are able to be literally encouraged at all times by God, so that boldly we will go on out, vested in him for the battle. From this same Roman prison cell from which St. Paul was dictating this letter to the Ephesians, he would dictate a letter to his spiritual son, St. Timothy, saying that the time of my dissolution is near, but I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now a crown of righteousness awaits me. St. Paul was a warrior. He was courageous. And he tried to strengthen the church to be similarly as courageous. Today, he shows what his weapons and open secret was. As we come to celebrate this Mass, we now meet the one who seeks to gather us with love, and we don't refuse him, but receive him. This is the rock. This is the mercy. This is the deliverer. He trains our hands for battle and our fingers for war. It's not a war against other human beings for which he died. It's a war against these principalities, powers, world rulers, and present darkness. And with him, strengthen us in this way. We move onward, Christian soldiers.